Toyota dealers deal with repairers instead of buyers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Today, the car companies report their sales numbers for January. So that's a look in the rearview mirror. It's the view up ahead that's not pretty for Toyota. Replacement parts for those faulty accelerator pedals could start arriving at Toyota dealers as early as today. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports the pedal problems and recalls have been tough on those dealers.
John McElhaney's been busy lately, though not in a good way. He owns a Toyota dealership in Clinton, Iowa.
We've had probably more people than normal coming in, but obviously a lot of them are questions about their present vehicle, not to purchase another one.
McElhaney's been talking to customers whose faith in Toyota is faltering.
A young lady, 21 years old, just bought her first new car from us a few weeks ago, a new Toyota Camry. She was just very disturbed about this, and was her car safe, and did she make a good buy?
He told her the sticky gas pedal problem's rare and offered to check her car on the spot. McElhaney, who's also chairman of the National Auto Dealers Association, says dealers must get repairs done quickly to keep customers loyal. McElhaney predicts dealers can recover all their lost sales by the end of the year. That'd be good because the hit to Toyota from repairs, idled production, and liability is already estimated at over $1 billion. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
President Obama is in New Hampshire today, promoting an idea to free up cash for smaller businesses. As he mentioned in his State of the Union address, the president wants to funnel $30 billion to local banks so they can help small businesses get financing. And now for the numbers. European stock markets are higher this morning by more than 0.5%. Japan's main index jumped up today, but most Asian markets were lower. Yesterday, the big Wall Street indices were up more than 1% after strong manufacturing numbers and better-than-expected earnings from ExxonMobil. The Dow added 118 points and closed at 10,186. Finally, some positive news about health care. A study published today in the journal Health Affairs finds more money for community clinics has meant more treatment for the uninsured. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Gregory Warner filed this report.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
How are you guys?
Okay.
How are you?
For the last 9 years, Gene Dupree and his wife Jacqueline have had one primary care doctor, Dr. Tim Lehman.
And this is the best your blood pressure has looked in a long time. So that's really good news.
Lehman tugs at a stethoscope hung around his collar like a gym towel. He works for the Esperanza Health Center in North Philadelphia. It's one of 1,200 federally funded health centers in low-income neighborhoods. Centers reduce expensive hospital visits by focusing on preventive care and community outreach. A new study published today reports that community centers are also more effective than many hospitals at channeling federal money to the uninsured. Professor Anthony Lasasso at the University of Illinois authored the study.
For every dollar that they receive in federal grants, a little over 25 cents of that dollar essentially goes to uncompensated care.
Dr. Lehman says that uninsured patients can feel so stigmatized that they don't seek care until the last minute, and it's often in a hospital emergency room. He says it takes a familiar face to gain people's trust.
A trust level develops that allows people to feel that they're being seen as a person, taken care of as a person.
Which means that when Lehman tells them to lose weight or take their heart medicine, they're more likely to listen. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at microsoft.com/cloud services.
Between China and India, in the tiny kingdom of Bhutan, the first commercial bank has just opened its doors. Bhutan has been changing fast since electing its first democratic government a couple of years ago. Now the Indian bank, Druk Punjab, has opened a branch there. Lisa Napoli is in Bhutan's capital, Thimphu, and she joins us now. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Bill.
So what has the banking system in Bhutan been like up until now?
Well, Bill, this is a place where yaks roam free and where subsistence farming is still the mainstay occupation for 80% of the people who live here. So it wasn't very long ago that the barter system was the dominant way of doing business, and currency was only introduced, hard currency, only about 40 years ago.
And in a country used to the barter system, are they now getting used to things like ATM cards and credit cards?
Well, they want to. They see us have them, and they see outsiders come in with them wanting to spend money, and they can't, because unless you have cash, you can't spend it here. So also, just it's a lifeline to the world. I mean, you can't even set up an internet business if you don't have some sort of credit card, and many people here are eager to do that. The entrepreneurial spirit is really booming here in a way that didn't exist even 4 years ago. So the promise of this bank is really making people very excited.
You know, Lisa, in the States these days, we haven't, it's been a while since we've said everybody's thrilled about plastic. What kind of conversations are people having about the advent of credit?
You would think they'd learn from looking at what's gone on for us, but unfortunately, all they're learning is, even though they're a peaceful, happy Buddhist kingdom, that they want more stuff, lots more stuff.
Okay, Lisa Napoli in Thimphu, Bhutan. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill.
And finally, a Hong Kong bartender turned fortune teller has lost his claim to the estate of Asia's richest woman. Billionaire Nina Wong, widow of a chemical magnate, died 3 years ago at age 69. Tony Chan claimed he and Nina were so intimate she left him a pair of her pigtails and rewrote her will just for him. Today, the judge ruled that will is a forgery, and that just because Nina gave Tony gifts in life doesn't mean she wanted to support him from the grave. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. Join us online. We have a new brain teaser there. Test your knowledge with the Daily Nugget at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.